Session 6, how should we witness? The world is full of passionate people, people who are passionate about sports teams, about politics, about some good cause. And when you're really passionate about something, you cannot help but talk about it. So after a football team wins a major tournament, the management doesn't then run a series of seminars for the fans to help them know how best to pass on their passion and tell others about their team. A fan just, of course, naturally does it. And you get that sense with the early Christians. Such was their amazement at the victory that Jesus had won over death, this offer of forgiveness and life, you could hardly shut them up. Acts 4:20 records them saying to the authorities who tried to shut them up, "We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." And so, as we continue to think today about how we should witness to Jesus, we need to realise right at the start that the key is to be so taken up with Jesus' victory for us that we cannot help talking about it. But of course, witnessing to Jesus never seems quite as easy as shouting about our sports team. Why is that? Well, the Bible talks about a spiritual battle going on. The devil is real, and one of his key works in the world is to distract people and take people away from Jesus. It means if he can make it hard for us to talk about Jesus, he will. And that's why we can know Jesus is the best thing in the world and still find it hard to talk about him. And that's why God gives us his Holy Spirit to empower us to witness for Jesus. This week, we're going to see what God tells us in the Bible about how we can most effectively witness to Jesus as he works in us by his Holy Spirit. And the passage we're going to look at is Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for whom I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." So first then, the subject of our witness, which is Christ. Paul is asking here for the Colossians to pray for his witness. He prays that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. When the Bible talks about mystery, it's usually something that God has simply revealed, something that was a mystery but no longer is. In other words, the good news about Jesus. And the first thing we need to have in mind when we witness is who we're witnessing to: Jesus and the good news of his death and resurrection for our sins. When you go on some journey, of course, the key thing is to know the destination. There may be several different ways of getting there, but if you don't know the destination, you've got no hope. And the same is true in our witness. The destination is always Jesus. But of course, there are different ways to get there. So one of our friends perhaps is going through a particular time of suffering. We might talk about how Jesus offers comfort in the midst of suffering, how he suffered for us, how he brings genuine hope of a life without suffering. One particular route ending at Jesus. Perhaps someone else notices how different Christians are. And we can talk then about how it is that Jesus makes that difference in our lives. A different route, the same destination, Jesus. Someone else perhaps thinks that the Bible isn't trustworthy. And so we go about the hard work of showing how reliable the eyewitness accounts of Jesus are. Because again, we want them to understand Jesus, the same destination in each case, even if the route is different. And so for us practically, it's a great thing to get to know the Gospels. Perhaps in particular, a few stories from one of the Gospels that have connected with us and that we can share with others. So then, the subject of our witness is Christ. Secondly, the heart of our witness is love. Firstly, a love for God. Think back to those passions. If you love a sports team, of course you will talk about it to others. Similarly, if we love God and all that Jesus has done for us, well, it's a very natural thing to want to talk about him to others. Remember that phrase? That we are to declare the praises of him who brought us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Why witness? Because we love God. We want to talk about him. But also out of love for others. Here is a verse from Mark 6, verse 34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Jesus taught people about himself and all he came to do out of compassion. That word literally means a gut-wrenching love. And so the question for us to ask is, do we love people enough to share with them the one essential bit of news that they need? Of course, it means we need genuine relationships with non-Christian people. It means we need to make time for those relationships to grow a real love for them. That's the heart of our witness, love. Thirdly, the engine of our witness, which is prayer. And this takes us back to Paul in Colossians. Now, when it came to witnessing to Jesus, Paul is about as competent as and able as they come. He had a razor-sharp mind, an amazing understanding, extraordinary energy and capacity. And yet, what does Paul say here? Pray for us, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. He pleads for prayer. Prayer for opportunity in the first place. Prayer for making the most of those opportunities. Prayer that God would make someone's heart soft to the message about Jesus. You see, without God's work, none of us can be effective witnesses to Jesus. That's a great thing for us, to be praying for opportunities to witness. Perhaps we could have three people who don't yet know Jesus, friends of ours, family, who we could resolve to pray for every day. Pray for little opportunities throughout the day as well. Prayer is like the engine of our witness. Without it, our witness goes nowhere. The story of George Muller is a particular encouragement to us in our prayers. He founded many orphanages back in the 19th century, and he was a great prayer. This is what he wrote in his journal. In November 1844, I began to pray for the conversion of five individuals. I prayed every day without one single intermission, whether sick or in health, on the land or on the sea, and whatever the pressure of my engagements might be. 18 months elapsed before the first of the five was converted. I thanked God and prayed on for the others. 5 years elapsed, and then the second one was converted. I thanked God for the second and prayed on for the other three. Day by day, I continued to pray for them, and 6 years more passed before the third was converted. I thanked God for the three and went on praying for the other two. These two remain unconverted. Now that's what he wrote. 38 years later, they remained unconverted, and yet he prayed on, and we find out that one of those friends was converted shortly before his death, and the other, can you believe it, at his funeral, as someone else preached the good news of Jesus there. An amazing thing. God answers prayers. Question is, will we persistently keep praying that God would do that work in our friends' lives? So the engine of our witness is prayer. Fourth, the responsibility of our witness, which is readiness. In verse 5, Paul turns from his witness to the Colossians. He says this, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." When he's talking about outsiders, he simply means people who aren't yet part of the Christian community. And he says, look, be wise. Think through the best way of engaging with your different non-Christian friends, different non-Christian people in your life. And if we're to make the most of every opportunity, of course, that requires readiness. When you're waiting for a bus or a train, of course, you're always on the lookout, checking the screen, checking the time, looking down the road for a bus. And you don't let yourself get distracted, because otherwise there's a danger you'll miss it. The same kind of attitude should mark our witness. Looking out for opportunities to witness for Christ. Thinking through the different friendships that we might have. Chewing over the best way to encourage them to consider Jesus. Going through our days alert to the many little opportunities we get, so that when they arrive, we don't miss them. A friend of mine used to say, when it comes to being Jesus' witness, God doesn't care about your ability, but about your availability. Well, are you willing to say to God, I'm available. Use me today to point someone to Jesus. Of course, we can't make people Christians, but we do have the responsibility of making the most of every opportunity. That's the responsibility of our witness, readiness. Finally, the manner of our witness, grace. And this is verse 6. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The message Christians are passing on is one of grace, God's free gift to us of Jesus, totally undeserved, simply because of his love. And that message of grace stops you from feeling superior to others. And you know, that changes the whole tone of our witness. It's not that we're out to show the world that we are right and they are wrong. Rather, we are sharing a message of grace. One person said, it is like one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And so we're told all our conversation should be marked by grace, a kindness and a love towards the other that reflects the message that we are telling them. And not only so, we are told it should be full of salt. That just means the way we talk to people and relate to people as Christians is distinctive. It means having good relationships with non-Christian people. It means having conversations. And as people notice the difference God's grace has made in our lives, well, it will lead to questions and we'll be able to begin to point them to Jesus at that point. So how should we be witnesses then? Well, there are many more things that we could say, but the key to it all is as we started, to be so captivated by the good news about Jesus that we simply can't help speaking about him and all that he has done. Yes, it's a spiritual battle. It will always feel hard to witness to Jesus. But as we trust him, he promises to give us everything that we need. And you know, there's nothing more wonderful than helping someone discover the greatest treasure of all themselves.